y'all for making the drive over here. Thank you for celebrating with the church family and with these who are professing their faith. It really is, it's important for us as a body to wrap around these who are coming today, to show our love and support, show them that we're with them, we're standing beside them. In fact, one of the reasons that we do a public baptism is the early church considered this your public profession of faith. They didn't recognize you as a believer until you were baptized, because it was you saying before men that you are placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And in fact, the baptismal waters, they symbolize that relationship with Jesus Christ. Water doesn't save. The baptism doesn't save. It doesn't give you a new birth. It doesn't give you regeneration or anything like that. Water baptism is an act of obedience of a child of God who is trusting Christ to come and show publicly what has taken place in their lives spiritually. You'll hear me on some. I'll ask a couple questions about their relationship with Jesus. A couple of our baptismal candidates will read testimonies this afternoon. But all of them are saying the same. All of them are saying that they found life in Christ. And so you'll hear me say, as I baptize, that you were buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. You have, as Romans 6 puts it, baptized, united yourself with Christ in His death, and now are united with Him in His life. You're a new person, a regenerate believer, born again, loving God, trusting Christ, living for Him. Some who are here today to be baptized have struggled with this decision for a while. Argued with themselves, wrestled with themselves, tried to talk themselves out of it, tried to justify their lack of baptism, and have come to the place where they just want to be obedient. Others have not struggled with it, but have been longing to do it for a long time. And so this morning we celebrate with each of these five. The first is Tricia Pruitt. Tricia has been learning and growing for a while now, and I know has wrestled with this particular decision for some time. We've exchanged several emails over the course of several weeks and months, sending articles, read this, think about this, discuss this, and has come to a place where she wants to be obedient to Christ and to be baptized publicly to announce her faith to you all. Tricia, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And will you follow Him for the rest of your days? Then I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptized with Him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Next is Brother Patrick Militello. Patrick's going to read you his testimony. Keep it dry, you just toss it over when you're done.
Okay.
A little chilly.
My testimony. A tragic accident in my childhood made me realize there was indeed a God. But even with the confidence in the reality of Jesus Christ and God, I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. I grew up drinking, drugs, debauchery. It was pretty normal stuff in high school and college. In 2002, my career was doing great. My home life was really good. I had a wonderful wife, three small children, and a gambling problem. Seeing how I worked at a casino, it was pretty hard to get away from my addiction. I would watch it all day at work, and then after I got off, I would run to another casino to spend the money I did not have. My wife did not know what I was doing, and I knew I had three children at home, and it did not matter. In fact, it relieved the stress of managing lots of people and going home to three babies. My wife's job took her out of town 2 weeks out of the month, So this added to my already high-stress life. Two babies in diapers, one an infant, and I managed 25 people at work. And a wife in another state made it unbearably stressed out. I found something that zoned me out of reality. The slot machine did not need anything except money. Now I realize that God had me where He wanted me. I broke like a dam in 2002, November. Everything had fallen apart. My wife found this money, and I had been hiding. When we separated. I was on the verge of losing my whole life. So I turned to Him. I broke down and prayed to the real God. I knew was there. And that was it. I was changed. And Jesus Christ put my marriage back together as well. I had accepted a job in another city, not Belusis, which at the time meant I would be commuting an hour and 15 minutes to work and an hour and 15 minutes away on my way back from home from work. I realized I didn't know much about God, but I wanted to. I bought a Bible and CD and listened to it for 3 years, 2 hours and 30 minutes a day, driving, during my drive. I wore out the CDs. I then bought a Bible and read it a few times. I could not get enough. I was on fire with God's love and just excited. I wanted to tell the world. My wife told me, "You've changed. You're not the same person. I'm married." And I agreed. I told her. And I know why. I tried to tell her about the Holy Spirit and being born again and why I seem different, and it caused a great deal of friction in the first few years of my conversion. I told my family and co-workers. I bought Bibles for everyone. And the more I tried to tell them, the more confrontational everyone became. I was praying for God to lead me, and my wife and had began to go to church after years of me praying. And I knew she was going to not go to another church and would not let me take my children, even though she did not believe, and I did not want to abandon my family. Week after week, I watched people in the church I went to, packed hundreds, and completely did not understand what the priest was saying, which is at best humanism, not God, not from God, definitely not from the Bible, and at worst the apostle. I was not being fed, and I knew it. I started telling people around me about the Bible and what I was saying, and no one wanted to hear it. Those closest to me got angry every time I said anything about the Bible and God. I would quote scripture, and people I'd never seen angry in my life became confrontational. I just was quoting the Bible. This went on a few years until I finally was led to scripture passage. Matthew 10, 34-39. "Do not think that I come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be of his own household." Whoever loves me, father and mother, more than me, is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross to follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. God showed me I am to love Him first, even over my family. I am the spiritual leader of my home, and I love and pray and teach my family 7 days a week. But now I know I'm supposed to be here. If God can lead me here, He can lead me there. It's hard, but I choose to put my faith in a good God.
I love my family more than I do. This is how God converted my fellowship brothers and sisters. Thank you for your love.
Amen.
I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bear with him that way. Thank you all in the newness of life. Next, we have Cindy Johnson.
Years passed by, I did allow myself to think just like most of the people do today. Some of the Bible still holds firm today, but with the changes in the times and this day and age, some things have surely changed. Some of the rules must be a little flexible or probably didn't face the things that people face today. Obviously, that's the only way to make sense out of the lives that I and so many people live. Saying it out loud makes me realize that it makes absolutely no sense, but that is how we think. However, putting my children ahead of everything made it that much more difficult when one of them was taken from this earth. In 2004, our youngest child died in a car accident, and losing her shattered our lives. I prayed a lot. I believed that Jesus could make it better, but I still had him in the back seat. After all, I had two other children that needed me, and I continued to put them ahead of God. I did my absolute best to keep myself together for my family. I had dealt with death before, but nothing like this. I was shattered. One of the people that I had put first and foremost in my life was gone. I was devastated. Over the years, my grief slowly turned into idolatry. It's hard to explain, but she had taken her front seat even in death. Even getting to heaven now turned into all about reuniting with my Chelsea. Despite all of this, I was floating through life thinking I'm a good person. And when I say good person, I hear my son ask me, compared to who? Which is what he says when I say, well, he's a good person. Who are you comparing him to? I faced my responsibilities. I was a good mother. I prayed. I went to church. I didn't drink. I quit smoking. I've never done any drugs. I spent quality time with my family. I volunteered my time in services donated. I could just go on and on about how glorious I was before I found Christ. I believed that there was a God, but he was not first in my life. Then a couple of years ago, my son, that same child that I had conceived out of wedlock, was saved. I was very enthusiastic about sharing it with us. I won't lie, at first we thought he had joined the cult, but had truly been saved and completely changed his life. We saw this outstanding change in him when he came to visit, and we slowly began to realize that we just wanted what he had. Eventually, was reading my Bible more, the whole thing, and listening to John MacArthur's sermons on grace to you, and it happened. Right there in the first chapters of the Gospel of John, I was overcome by the love of God, and I was saved. I saw in a new light what my life was and what it could be. And I wanted nothing more in that moment than to turn my life of sin into salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way to that salvation. And it means believing the whole truth of the Bible, not just parts of it. Believing that there is a God is not enough. All of the good deeds in the world can't get you there without giving your life to Jesus Christ. Why did I spend so much time before talking about my life before Christ, and that is to show you the love and grace of God. I'm a sinner, plain and simple. These aren't all I can, go on and list my sins forever. But God's love for me is so great that by surrendering my life to Jesus Christ and repenting of my sins, all of my sins have been erased. All sin. Jesus Christ was sent here the first time to save us. He was tortured and died for all of the things that we would do. No one sin is better or greater than others. God has poured out his grace on me, not giving me what I deserve, and promises me eternal salvation. And all I had to give him was my heart. It's all I have to offer him. And now I walk in the light of my Savior to glorify him in all that I do and thank him nonstop for his love and grace.
I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here you can baptize.
Let's pray. Father, we are so incredibly grateful for the lives that you have changed. For the transformation we have seen. For the testimony they now share. We thank you for their hunger for the word. We thank you for their salvation. And we pray, Lord, that as they go from here, that as they continue to testify to the grace they found in Jesus Christ, that so many more lives will be transformed for His glory. We thank you for the ministry of Central Bible Church and what you are doing through it. We ask, Father, that by your grace you will allow us to continue. For the glory of Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray, and by the power of the Spirit.